Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. If today's message motivates you, inspires you, moves you into action, then please share this with somebody via social media, text, whatever works for you. You could also give us a rating or review on iTunes. And last but not least, be sure to check out my book, Game Changing Moves, Life Lessons from the Locker Room and Beyond. You can pick it up right now on Amazon or go to my publisher, crosstrainingpublishing.com. All right, y'all, let's jump into today's episode. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm excited. Today we have Rachel Brinke on, who is, I would say, one of the most multifaceted human beings that we've had on. So I bring on a lot of high performers. Let me go through some of the highlights real quick. So Rachel is an entrepreneur, business strategist, attorney, USA athlete, author, podcast host, mom. So Rachel, you do a little bit of everything and you do it really, really well. So thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. It's always funny when people read out my quick bio. I'm like, when does that person sleep? Then I'm like, oh, wait, that's me.
Yep, absolutely. One foot in front of the other and keep rolling. So
yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this so that everybody kind of, you know, we can get to know you a little better. Tell me about your background, where you grew up, and you're currently an athlete. So maybe some of the sports that you did, you know, as you were growing up.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up military family, married military. We're now right outside of Washington, D.C. I kind of did the gamut of sports when I was younger, trying to see what I really would get into. I settled in doing tennis and swimming in high school. And then in college, I did some club swimming. And then I was pretty sedentary for a long time, you know, had cancer, had the five kids. And then I was like, I got to get back to myself, right? Not just so focused on business and family. I need to do stuff for myself. And that's how I got into Ironman triathlons. And it's been doing that ever since. I love it.
That's awesome. And, you know, triathlon training, we'll get into that more later, but it's an insane amount of work. I have a few friends that have done or that do in triathlons, and it's crazy. So right off the top, I'm a huge fitness guy. So I appreciate that, the amount of dedication that takes. But all right, so let's just kind of start college, you know, degree, and then we'll kind of move forward from there because your life is super interesting.
Yeah. So I went to college, felt like that's what I had to do. Didn't really know if I was going to be a business owner. Came from a military family. So never really grew up around others that had their own business. I kind of fought for a long time between this idea of being a business owner. Do I need to follow the typical path? Went to law school. And then I was like, you know what? I did corporate world for a bit, burnout, did not like it. It didn't support the life that I wanted. And I just wanted to pad my own pockets, fulfill my own goals and dreams. And so we ended up, I ended up creating my own businesses and I've been doing it ever since and love it.
Again, I guess, man, you are really good at long-term dedication stuff. So to go to law school, to get a law degree, mm-hmm. I mean, that's very intensive. Tell me a little bit about the corporate world, because, you know, I know some people that love it, but then also people that are like, man, that's not what I want to do, because they have the entrepreneurial spirit. So mm-hmm. what made you just say like, hey, that's not for me?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I actually kind of always knew growing up that I didn't fit into like the 9-to-5 cubicle farm type of thing. It just was not me. And so I struggled for a long time. I worked as a government contractor. I worked as at the attorney general's office for a bit, you know, thinking prestigious, got to do this. And finally, once I was able to financially provide for my family with my entrepreneurial pursuits, I was like, I'm done. You know, those that want to do corporate world do it really well. Kudos to them. For me, it just did not fit my lifestyle. I think all the time, all these people that work corporate, how do they train? How do they have time for all this other stuff? Because I feel like the only reason that I'm able to do that is because of being able to work for myself.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about your, you know, your cancer scare and you're a cancer survivor. You know, just some of that journey.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed at age of 20, right? You think you're invincible. I'm in college. I think that nothing can ever touch me. And yeah, I had cancer, thyroid cancer. Thankfully, it's one of like the better cancers to have, which is such a weird thing to say, but I was really lucky. It was fairly streamlined with surgeries, radiation, and I've been clean ever since.
You know, businesses. And if somebody were to go to your website, they can see the various things that you do. Tell me about like, just where did you start? Like, okay, you know, like you said, you were able to start providing for your family through some of your side gigs, entrepreneurial gigs. How did that start for you? Did you follow passions? So tell me about some of those things.
Yeah. So when I knew right about the cancer time is when I really knew that I didn't want to work corporate world. I still ended up doing it after because we needed the money and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I had started an online apparel store and just kind of trying to figure out the business goings. I just from there, you know, I was like, I really liked helping other people do businesses. And at the time, we didn't have all this freemium information that's out there, right? You had to go and pay for courses only. We didn't have blogs. We didn't have podcasts in the way. Blogs are really new. Blogging at that time was more like personal blogging. And so once I got in and did a couple different businesses, I realized I wanted to help others that also wanted the same things that I do: flexibility, freedom, physical, mental, financial freedom. And so that's where I've just developed in different industries around that.
Yeah. And, you know, you started blogging. Then you're also the author of 7 books. Tell me.
Yeah, about no, that's fun. That's just fun project. Those those aren't really for work. Those are just for me to enjoy. They all mirror all the different industries that I'm in, the different things that I do. So I've got Fit Legally, which is for fitness professionals. I've got stuff for photographers, creatives. So all of them just kind of mirror those passions. Those are different interests that I have.
Yeah. Whenever you're creating businesses, and then I would say offshoots of that, studying some of the greats out there, a lot of times people put together things that will, I would say almost spiderweb, right? They all connect. Mm-hmm. Is that how you set it up whenever you decide, like, I'm going to blog, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to connect these to my businesses? Or were these various passions?
Yeah. So what's interesting is I got into the photography. I was already a lawyer at that point, got into the photography stuff during law school, actually, I should say. And by the time I exited law school, I was running photography business to help financially provide during law school, but everyone's asking all these questions, legal stuff about photography. So I set that up and built that silo. And then I got into doing Ironman triathlons. And then people were asking me questions. They knew I was an attorney. I'm like, I'm running. They're like, hey, can you help me with my coaching business? And I'm like, all right, maybe after the race, but all right. So that's how I created Fit Legally. So it's like, I combine my personal interests with this legal and business coaching aspect. So, and that, I think that's what gives me a unique perspective in everything that I do is that like photographer, I was a photography business owner, at least for here on the fitness stuff. I don't run a fitness business. I work with a lot of them now, but I have the athlete perspective to combine with the legal and business strategy stuff.
For you, you know, if you're looking at some of your personal passions, the things that you are like really running toward, what are the things like when you wake up in the morning, you're like, this fires me up. This is like, it lights the fire in my belly. It makes me want to go to work today. It makes me want to achieve today. What are those things?
So it was interesting. I actually got to see a physical manifestation of this during pandemic last year. You know, the world shut down. And I mentioned a little bit ago, like the freedoms, financial, physical, and emotional or mental freedom that I get from having my business, you know, to the life that I want. So that's what fires me up is being able to help others. It sounds so cliche, but it's so true. But helping others that also have their own definition of a real business to support their real life, right? Because I feel like business should always be the supporting actor of that, but it's helping people figure out how they can accomplish that, whatever that looks like to them. Like, it doesn't have to be the same thing as me. You don't have to have five kids. You don't have to travel the world and all that sort of stuff. Those are just the things that I love and focus on. And so I get fired up when I think about the clients that I get to work with and help them accomplish what they want in business so they can go do the things. And I think as being a cancer survivor, I have a little unique perspective of that, right? Like at 20, my life could have been over. And it's not to say that it's rose colored glasses every day, but yeah, I get fired up helping other people live their best life.
Yeah. It's, you know, when we say cliche, a lot of times I'm a coach. So of course there's many cliches that come up, but yeah. I'm like, cliches are cliche, but they are because there's like this element of truth behind them.
Truth,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm going to detour real quick because you're a mom of five. We have four children ourselves.
Wow.
It
yeah.
creates a crazy busy life. But tell me a little bit about your family and travels, things like that. Because I'd be remiss if we didn't jump in and shout out the family. So family and some of the travels.
Yeah, the kids always love to be involved. Like in the books, you know, you look at them, they all look like my children because they're emulated. Each character is emulated after them. But yeah, my oldest is 16 and my youngest is 6. So we have a big age gap between the first two. And then they're all like boom, 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 boom together. And they are very entrepreneurial minded too. You know, it sounds amazing. Like we go to Disney or big Disney family and travel these places and people are always like, oh, that's so fun. And I'm like, but you don't get it. Like it's a learning lesson for them. Like when we're at Disney, we're talking about why do they have trash cans 20 feet apart or why do they do certain things business-wise? We'll pull up and I sound so boring. I know, but I promise my kids love this. They love being involved. And I feel like even if they don't become entrepreneurs themselves, just having them have the world view of why businesses operate the way they do. We talked a lot during pandemic about how the business and the life that we created, we didn't feel a blip, right? Thankfully, because we'd been building that for 15 years at that point, while the rest of the world shut down, people are losing jobs, people losing lives. We were able to show kind of the physical manifestation of all the hard work. And so I think that kind of full circle came around for them. They always enjoy the trips and they love the benefits that they get out of what I do. But I think they saw the practical application at that point.
It's funny you say that. We are a Disney family too. Yeah, we actually have a trip coming up pretty soon, but yeah, my wife is what I would call like a Disney nerd. So she listens to podcasts about Disney. She studies it all. So when we go down there, but I love like what you were talking about, the excellence of Disney. Everything that they do is done absolutely on purpose. Everything mm-hmm. they do is done at the mm-hmm. highest level. So many business people have gone in and studied like, why did Walt Disney create all this excellence along the way? And it just, when you mm-hmm. go there, creates this immaculate experience. And mm-hmm. yeah, so, and my family was not a traveling family growing up. I didn't vacation. We didn't do those things. My wife's family did. So now that we get to do those, I really appreciate it and enjoy it. And like you said, it is a, it's an educational experience for your children as well.
I love that you said that, because actually my team lead, one of my team leads, she's a big Disney, most of us are Disney people. We just, you know, birds of a feather flock together, right? You just gravitate. But her and I are starting a Disney podcast, but I'm a super like sarcastic, snarky personality. And so we're going to have a very snarky field. It's going to be fun project. I mean, we keep talking about it. We have the artwork, we have everything, but we got to fit it in. We got to do the stuff that's making the money so we can go to Disney.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you my wife will be listening to the podcast, because she, she's all about all things Disney, which is really cool. So, All right. Because I love fitness, I want to go there next. Tell me how you train, and especially working around your businesses and your family. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you train for your triathlons. What's a day look like for you? Let's just say you're 6 weeks out or whatever, and you're preparing. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that normally look like for you?
It's the ebb and flow of your schedule, right? Like today's atypical. We're recording this on a Friday morning, and normally that's my long run day. So I won't schedule anything before noon typically, so that I can get work stuff, any like client work I need to get done, my training for the day. So a typical week, if I'm about 6 weeks out, I've reduced in the client load that I'm taking. And I also try to plan my races, because I know what the training cycle is going to look like. I try to plan that around the seasons of business. So with working, we do B2B, business to business. So working with other business owners, I know that in the summer, they're all on the beaches. They're out doing whatever. Like we were joking that in July and August, we had tumbleweeds going across our computers because all of our business owners were all living their best life. September 1, whoo, everything blew up. So I know I try to schedule it's like puzzle pieces, right? Just try to fit it all together that I'm not going to want to put, I've done it and I don't recommend it, but like in the fall is one of our busiest times, like right now, because we're getting up to Black Friday and then first of the year, business owners, everyone's like new year, new you, and they're going to be ready to invest and need help in their businesses. But I also like to give my team time off in December, like we'd like to take 2 to 3 weeks off. And so I just reverse engineer it that way and try not to put a race in the fall. Well, ever do that again. Did that a couple of years ago and it stressed everybody out. So yeah, that's just the way that I kind of try to approach is I just know what the level of work's going to be and try to work around that.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to the nutrition, because I want to talk about your nutrition that goes in, because that's a huge part of fitness.
Yeah.
We'll connect as well. All right. I'm a big believer that principles are principles. Once you know them, you can apply them anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So 10 things that allow us to be successful athletes can allow us to be successful business owners.
100%.
What are some of the overarching connecting principles that you've discovered along the way that allow people to achieve goals, to reach success? Mm-hmm. Let's just say things like consistency, whatever it is. What are some of the overarching themes here?
Yeah, consistency is one, much like what we just talked about, the puzzle pieces, you know, making sure that it can fit within your life structure or business and vice versa. But I also think it's recognizing, understanding when, and athletes definitely understand this, right? But the difference between suffering and pushing yourself past a physical point that is unhealthy, right? And so business owners are the same way. You know, you're going to go through periods of business where it's completely stressed out. Like I do batch content creation, I'll be completely exhausted, you know, being on camera for like a whole week to do stuff. But that's not burnout. That's just knowing that I'm front loading the work so that I can take time off, so I can do X, Y, and Z. So it's being in tune with understanding what is true burnout and what is just the season that you can quote unquote suffer through, right? Because you know the finish line is coming. Now, the other side of that is there's many people, athletes do it, entrepreneurs, there's a lot of parallels between the two that they're not in tune with understanding how burnout manifests differently for everyone. And so we have this mindset, especially in the fitness world, of you got to push your limits, but it's knowing what the actual healthy limits are, whether it's business or fitness, because you're not going to be, if you push yourself too much in a race, and I actually do believe that this happened to me when I did Ironman World Championships in 2018, I did New York City Marathon 2 weeks later, because in theory, it sounds good, right? I only have to do one training cycle for both. Pandemic came in, so it allowed me, I had one more cycle of training and race after that, probably wasn't smartest. Pandemic forced me to slow down, right? Because there were no races. Nobody was going anywhere. So it forced me now, but not pushed so much or in the way that I had done it back in 2018. I would not have really suffered in going through what I've been going through health-wise in the last few years. So I just, you know, I've never actually really shared that on a podcast. I talk a little bit about it on my social media. I don't want to play like the whole victim. Oh, you know, it was me. I pushed myself too hard and I just wasn't smart enough at the time. Life lesson, no, but I wasn't smart enough at the time to say, this is too much. You know, I allowed the pressure of media, because I was an NBC featured athlete during the world champs and all this. I allowed that to distract me. And then I was like, oh, everyone is dependent upon me for X, Y, and Z. I had sponsors and all this stuff, but I was the one that paid the price. My family was the one that paid the price in the end. So if you guys can take any lesson from that, is whether it's physical, you know, for athletes or for the business side of things, know when to suffer and know when it's too much.
That is great advice. One of the things, I mean, there were a lot of negative things to the pandemic, right? And then there were definitely some positive things. But one of the things I think was good, and you kind of mentioned it, was it forced a lot of us to slow down. And especially like for me being a family man, but I also do 17 other things, it forced me to slow down a little bit, be with my family. But it also sparked some new ideas and gave me time to run toward a few other passions like this podcast, things like that. The mental side, the physical side, those things really connect. And then the nutritional side. So what does, let's just say, if you were going to go through and give us some of your non-negotiables, these are things that you got to do every day to not only succeed, but to rest well so that you don't get into the area of burnout. So, you know, maybe it is you have a great morning routine, you have a great night routine. What are some of the things you do throughout the day that allow you to stay productive, but also to recover so that you can be productive again the next day? Mm-hmm. Give me some of those daily habits and non-negotiables for you.
So I'm a big coffee person, probably not the best answer on a fitness podcast, but that's okay. If it's in my macros, right? So that's going to be my key thing, is making sure that I'm eating well-balanced meal. That was one of the hard parts with pandemic. Didn't have a race to look forward to. So kind of got really lax on eating. And now that I've gotten back onto it, I remind myself, my body is like, thank God we're back to this daily routine of getting the right amount of protein, et cetera. Hydration, my water, I lost it before this, but I typically always have a glass of water in my hand. Sleeping is big. I've never been a really good sleeper. So I put a lot more emphasis on that. Being an athlete. So I try to go to bed about the same time. I structure my day so that like training gets done in the morning, because I know if I wait till later, it's not going to happen. Something will come up with the kids. I'll be too tired and I don't want it to push into sleep time, because I know I'm only going to get X amount of decent hours of sleep. And so, yeah, so sleep, the nutrition, sticking the right macros percentage. I have a coach that helps me with that. That's huge. I'm trying to think of anything else. Getting outside is a huge one for me, especially like it's fall right now. And so shortened days, I'm very sensitive to daylight. In fact, we're having thunderstorms and it's just dreary. And I can just feel myself this morning kind of sluggish. So being in tune with that, also every day I try to get outside. I typically will run and bike outside as much as I can. But even on like swim days, I'll still try to go take the dog for a walk or something, just because that'll impact me, you know, physical wise, but also mentally, whether it's, you know, then going to the next training session or to be with my family.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Getting outside, having fresh air, having sunshine is absolutely huge. It's amazing. Sometimes I forget too, right? So try to make sure I have these daily habits to be able to perform at my best. But sometimes I forget, sunshine can completely change my mood and the way I feel. Good music sometimes can completely change my mood and the way and so I forget about these, some, you know, these little simple things sometimes. And then when I do it, I'm like, why don't I just do that on a daily basis?
I know. Yeah. Well, and that's the same way too. Like if I'm not, don't eat a good meal, I'll message my coach and I'll be like, remind me, I feel awful. Cause I also know it's going to trickle over into my training session, and being so busy, you know, I already know that I'm probably not going to hit but maybe 75 to 80% of the laid out training that I need to do for a race. It just, life happens, you know, I can get sick, I have an off day, or just like the kids. And so when I do have time to commit to the sessions, I need to make sure that I'm showing up as physically able to really execute that. It doesn't mean it's pushing hard for all of them, but definitely being able to be in tune. If it's, even if it's an easier run, if I'm feeling crappy because I gorged on chicken wings the night before, I'm not going to be focused on my form, which then could lead to injury. You know, it's a whole like domino effect.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, talking about the sports side, you mentioned pressure. Okay. So you're representing, you're a featured athlete, Team USA, but there's also pressure being a parent. There's pressure running several businesses. How do you deal with your mindset? And you said you have a coach, you were talking about that. I love it because most highly successful people I know, whether it's in sport, in business, whatever, they hire a coach. They have a coach that helps them along, right? And I think that really helps your mindset as well. I happen to be a mindset coach for a company called Winning Mindset, and I mostly work with wrestlers and jiu-jitsu athletes, MMA athletes. But so tell me a little bit about having a coach and then how mindset-wise you deal with pressure.
I love that you brought this up because I do think that there's this element, especially with high performers, whether it's business or athletes, you never really want to share that you have a coach because it may be like a signal of weakness that you don't know how to put together your own training block. I've done this for so long now as a triathlete. I could put it, I'm not licensed coach. I don't know all the things, but I could do it and get myself to the finish line. That being said, I know my personality that if I have I take a training plan, I get it off the internet or I write it out, I'm going to be so focused on checking the box and making sure I do every single one of those that I'm going to forget to pay attention to myself, that I'm going to probably overtrain, that I'm going to push myself and hurt myself. Same thing can go for business, right? So actually the coach, one of the key, I was just thinking about that this morning on my way back from dropping the kids at school. I was thinking, oh, should I have her? If she's been with me for like 5-6 years, I'm like, oh, should I have her next season? And I was like, yes. You know why? Because she gives me the permission, not that I need it, but she gives me the permission to skip a workout or to change it up. And that sounds, some people probably listen and they're like, oh, she's an athlete. She can't be in tune with all that. It's because I'm so focused on wanting to be a high performer that I'm like, that's what I have to do. And not really thinking that it's okay if I switch it up from hill sprints today to an easy, you know what I mean? And just, it's something about having her say, no, hey, let's do this. Let's adjust for that. That is worth it. Even if she didn't give me any training plans or anything, just her having that, what's the word I'm looking for? Objective outside view. Right? Because we get really, especially with those that are high performers, we put our head to the grindstone. That's why we're good at what we do, is that we do and commit to the work, but we forget that sometimes we need to take a step back.
Yeah, that is great advice. It's a great viewpoint. You know, and the name of my podcast is Coach P's Perspective, right? But I don't want my perspective to always guide my life. I want to bring in outside perspectives. Yeah. So having a coach can add a different element, a different perspective. And I know that, you know, I run a lot of workouts and training, and I have a lot of athletes and adults that would just say, I love it because I don't have to think about it. You just have it written out, or you tell me what to do and I can just go do it. It's the one area of my life I can kind of just say like, oh, I don't have to organize all this. I can just come in and do it, you know?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think especially if you're a high performing athlete and high performing entrepreneur, you're making decisions all the time. I know it drives my husband batty. He'll be like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, please, I just do not want to make another decision. You know, so I try to put supports in place of like, cause I don't cook. That's like one of out of my whole list of things that I do, I don't cook. I don't cook well. So my family is grateful that I don't cook. I try. I'm a mean order on DoorDash though, I'll tell you what, but there is something to be said about the decision fatigue. In fact, I believe it was Steve Jobs that everyone joked about him wearing the black turtleneck thing all the time. You want to know why? So he didn't have to make decisions. That was probably one of the reasons. I was reading a whole study about CEOs and the things that they do to reduce decision fatigue or to streamline. And that was one was him. He very consistently knows what he's going to wear and doesn't really deviate from that. And I actually noticed that I just happened to do that. I wasn't even intentional. I wear almost the same thing as my uniform, like every single day. So yeah, it's one of the, and you know, it's, I'm glad that we're talking about this because early on in entrepreneurship, I was very much panic driven. My family needed the money. We needed the money to live. And so I wouldn't stop and recognize these things that were a negative. Like, for example, in the evening, I'd be so stressed out about trying to figure out dinner plans that it was manifesting into anxiety and it was causing like personal, you know what I mean? Like I'm then not being an effective partner and parent. And all it was, you just don't think that it, you blame, oh, having to always figure out the dinner, always have to figure, or whatever it is in your life. For me, it was dinner, making a decision at the end of the day. Really, it was that there were other things in my life, in business, or with having a coach that I just wanted taken off my plate. It had nothing to do with dinner. That was just the physical manifestation, the tipping point of, and it was the symptom of all the other things that I needed to get under control. Like you said, taking that out of your mental space, having someone else dictate it all, freaking love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm the same. It's funny. I was just talking with a business friend of mine yesterday and he runs a podcast and I was listening to a great guest he had on. And the guy was basically talking about efficiency. And I was like, my whole life, I valued efficiency. When I was 9 years old, my parents always made me make my bed. So I would literally, I thought I hacked the system. I got a sleeping bag and I put it on top of my bed and I would sleep in the sleeping bag. So when I got up in the morning, I could just roll it up, put it away. And my bed was made. Right. So I was like, yes, I figured this out, but really it was about efficiency. And if I could, I would be a minimalist. My wife is not about that, about that life. I would have like five of the same t-shirt, five of the same pants, you know, like Steve Jobs, my whole house would be minimal. Cause it takes away that decision fatigue. You know, the other things. But so, yeah. So having to learn how to organize your life and do those things is huge as an entrepreneur, as a business person, as a parent. I mean, there's a lot going on every single day for everyone that's listening. Right. And especially if you are an achiever, if you're highly driven, those type of things, because you're always like trying to be the best at each of those areas and it can wear you out a little bit. All right. I don't want you to be humble on this next question. I want you to just tell me. I believe everybody has multiple gifts, right? I believe that God's given us gifts to be able to use. I believe everyone has some sort of a genius. All right. Tell me what is your genius, or maybe a couple areas that you feel like you're pretty dang gifted in. Work.
I'm pretty good at analytical thinking. Probably almost to a detriment in a way. I have a tendency to overthink a lot of things, but I think that's what makes me a really good business strategist, makes me a really good attorney. I mean, even when I was in like middle school, I remember my teacher called my mom in or something and oh crap, I'm in trouble again. Well, you know, I was always like talking, not in my seat, that sort of thing. And she actually called my mom in to tell her that, I had reorganized her entire filing system and it was a lot more efficient just because I look at things and that, I think that's why I love the whole Disney, you know, the reverse engineering of how everything works. And I'm looking for a better or something. I always want to see how can it be more efficient? How can we fix that? Now, the problem with that is you don't want to do that to people, you know, so that could be a negative that comes across. And I'm actually working on my pilot's license and on my very first flight in air, instructor was like, you're overthinking this way too much. And he's like, you just fly it. Just fly it. Cause I'm going, if I do this, it's going to do that. And he's like, no, just stop. So, you know, I feel like all of us, you know, we have a genius, but we also got to be vigilant of our weaknesses, which I think is actually probably a new genius that I've picked up in the last few years. I've really been stretched and grown as a person, but also as a leader and manager in my business, which also has helped in my personal life. I mean, we both have like small basketball teams at our home. And I ended up taking the Clifton Strengths Assessment test. And I initially had just gotten it for my staff to do. And I was like, well, I got to do it too. What I love about it is that it shows you your strengths, but it shows you the other side of the coin. It shows you the negatives that can come from those strengths. So I'm also very high-paced, fast-working, very quick to analyze something. But the negative of that is sometimes I'll have team members that can't keep up, and that has its own like cooldown effect. And so I'm slowly getting better at taking these geniuses and looking at the weaknesses and trying to temper it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, with every positive, a lot of times there's some sort of negative that rolls in behind it, right? And if it's not used in the right way, then it could be detrimental at the same time. So we don't want to have like, hey, we can achieve all this, but we left everybody else behind, or we hurt somebody else's feelings or whatever. So I'm glad you said that, because my next question for you is personal growth. What are some of the things that you do that allow you to grow as a leader? That, because the bigger the organization, the bigger the business, first off, we don't want to be the lid to the business, right? We don't want to be the ceiling, but we have to be able to grow. So what are some of the things that you do personally to be able to grow in those areas?
Therapy, believe it or not. But just by working on like some of the negatives I just transparently shared, which I never shared on any other podcast. You're getting all these first times today. But some of those things that I've seen manifest negatively in personal life that I've worked through with a licensed therapist has helped me immensely in coaching my clients and leading up my team. So that's not accessible to everyone. But I also recommend, you know, just sitting back and looking where some friction points are in your life, and just doing a real honest assessment, or having someone who can give a real objective perspective, honest assessment, and committing to self-help type books that you can work through. Now, you don't want to dive into all of that and ignore everything else in your life. So you want to pick like one or two key things to really intentionally work on. And I take the same method in business, right? If I'm trying to improve speaking engagements or something like that, pick one or two, and even actually, that's a good little parallel to athletics. Same thing, like when I'm on the bike, I may be focused on form or cadence or something. That session is going to have a very specific purpose. And same thing for, you know, working on yourself personally. Just look at where a friction point has been in the last 7 days, and then think, okay, when did I have that, you know, that same friction point at another time period? And if you see a pattern.
Excellent. That's very good. All right. Podcasts. Tell me about your podcasts.
Yes. I love podcasting. Absolutely love it. So we just rebranded over to Real Talk Podcast. I'm all about tough love. I just throw it all out there. And it's kind of a hybrid. If it's a solo cast, so if it's just me, I try to do 10 to 12 minute episodes, quick education for busy entrepreneurs. If I have a guest, we'll do it live on Instagram and then upload it. So we have video and audio. Those typically go longer, 30, 45 minutes. And I always try to seek out individuals who are doing great things, but also have like a really unique perspective to share very specifically of the parallels of business and life. Because my overarching thing is I'm creating a real business to support my real life, right? It's the supporting actor of it. And yeah, so that's what it's all about.
Very good. So yeah, I just added it this week, added it to my playlist. And I love podcasts. I love podcasting, but I like listening. So I'm a big music person, but if I'm in the car by myself, which I often am traveling, I'm listening to podcasts or a book. Now, if my family's with me, they probably they don't have the same interest, right? So my kids, they want to jam out. So we got music on if the kids are in there. But, you know, podcasts are what an incredible way just to add knowledge, add outside perspectives to, and I know that you've talked a little bit about being niche or niche, however you want to say it, to study something that you're passionate about, you want to be great at, there's a podcast for it. And there's somebody who's done what you want to do, and you can jump on, you can listen to it, which is really cool.
That is incredible. Because, you know, I just think back, and I mentioned this earlier, but I think back to when I first got into entrepreneurship, we didn't have freemium information. So like you had to seek out people to get information from. The other side of it now is that there's too much information. So there's the fatigue in trying to find the credible source, get the right information. But I think that's why even now is so much more important about niching down. I just did an episode on this about it needs to terrify you to the point of extremely terrifying you. Because if you are so incredibly specific, then people will gravitate towards that. There's no questions about what you do. I mean, just look at it on the athletic side. You think about any athlete that's your favorite, pro or otherwise, they're really good in one sport. I mean, some of them do cross over to different things, but they're good in one sport, one position. You know, there's something they're really, really good at. They're niched into that area for a reason. You can dig deeper in a hole by focusing on one hole as opposed to trying to dig 12 holes at a time. And so you can apply that, you know, like I was saying earlier, with going into a training session, being very specific on something to work on that one thing and dig that hole, niche down into that until you really are able to, what's the word I'm looking for? Succeed at it. I mean, whatever that looks like, you know, however you define that to be, but until you get your, that really get that under control and really are leveraging that for you, whether it's personal or business. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of niching down. In all areas of everything.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, you just painted a mental picture for me. You know, I just thought about immediately like an NFL lineman, right? If you make it to the NFL, you're the best at what you do anyway. But you could take a, let's just say a left tackle or a left guard and move them to the other side of the line. And we would think like, oh yeah, he's already a tackle, right? Now he can move over to the other side and be fine. They can't. Like, nope. You know, you have somebody gets hurt on the team and then they move somebody and the next week it's all screwed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got very, very good at exactly what they do in their position on their side and it became their expertise mm-hmm. and that allowed them to succeed in it. So, yeah, so that's great. I mean, you know what? I don't think I'd ever really made that connection when we talk about having mm-hmm. a niche. So being a sports person, thank you. You just gave me that mental picture that made it a little more clear.
Share with you, you know, I talk about, you know, you niche down and then you can expand later, but there is also a detriment of trying to expand. We've seen athletes who try to cross over into other sports and they flop, right? And I even had this happen for me last year. I tried to go a little bit more general. I wasn't as targeted in my messaging and we tested it. I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be as successful because it wasn't as niched, but I almost went too expansive in my messaging to the point that it was almost like I'm sitting in a room with all my potential prospects and they're kind of looking at each other going, is this for us? And I'm like, yes, but it's because it was too general. I had gotten too broad mm-hmm. in what I was offering at that point. And I'm what? That's 15, 16 years last year into business. I cognitively knew that, but I was like, let me try it anyways. And that's, you know, another life lesson. You try it out. It works. If it doesn't, you learn the lesson from it and you move. I went back to be a niche. And that was one of the reasons that we rebranded the podcast.
All right. Excellent. That's wonderful advice. Okay. I want to throw a couple of quick hitter questions out at you.
Yep.
Okay. So the H's is what I call this. I want you can tell me about a little of each. You can expand upon one more if you want, but a hero, hardship, or highlight in your life. Tell me about hero, hardship, or highlight in your life.
That applies to anything. See, I overthink. I can't just answer a question.
it could be any area. If there's a highlight that jumps off the page for you, if there's someone who's been a personal hero in any area of life, whatever comes to your mind first.
I think last year, it was a couple of months into pandemic and we went down to the beach. We rented a beach house for about a month. Kids were doing virtual learning or whatever. And I remember, and I'm not a very sensitive person, but it's like ice cold heart in here, my husband says. And when I was standing on the beach watching my kids play and I had just finished like a client call, I just started crying because I was like, this is the physical representation. That is probably one of the top highlights of my life, that it was a culmination of everything. You know, you have these moments where you're like, I have everything I've ever wanted. And it was so true. I had the business that I won, had the life. Was it perfect? No. I mean, we're in the middle of pandemic and all of this sort of stuff, but it just was nice to have like a physical highlight moment where everything that I have freaking worked for was right in front of me.
And that's amazing too, because, you know, a lot of times we think, okay, somebody wins a triathlon, it might be the best moment of their life, or somebody, you know, makes the Team USA, it might be the best moment of their life. And those are great moments, but often it's just these real life moments like that, like mm-hmm. amongst all the work and all the things that we're trying to achieve and the goals that we're setting when we get there. You know, many of the athletes I've coached a lot of state champions in the sport of wrestling. When they come back, they rarely talk about being a state champion. They're talking about their training. They're talking about the trips. They're talking about, so it's those real life moments when you can pick those out and be like, the journey, like that's what it was all about, like this right here. So that's beautiful to be able to hear that.
Well, you know, because you think back to like when we first got married, you know, I had more opportunities than most do, but we did not have a lot of money. We didn't have a bed. He was sleeping on the floor. I was on a single mattress I had brought from my college dorm room. And I remember just going to the store and holding my breath when I would swipe the debit card of, you know, he was actually pardoning me at the time. And of just hoping that it was going to go through, that we were going to make it to the next paycheck. So for us to be able to just drop everything, you know, and not even have to worry, you know, we could go book an Airbnb and just have the accessibility to that and know that we had worked for that to happen, you know. So it was a connective moment. So it might have been just standing on the beach, but it was a connective moment of the last like 15, 16 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Everybody has people favorited on their phone, right? So outside of like maybe immediate family, who's on that speed dial for you? Somebody that is just super important in your life.
My lead paralegal and my lead assistant. And then my college best friend as well.
Okay, very good. So yeah, it's funny. A lot of times, like you have those people favorited on there and they're just a big part of your life, but you're like, I don't even think about it that much. But those are the people that like, man, you need something you can jump on and they'll be there for you in a heartbeat, which is always a great thing.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I know my college roommate has been through this whole journey. I've known her longer than I've known my husband. And so we've been through a lot together and actually thinking about highlights, you know, when you're asking me the question, she popped up a couple of my times of being like the highlights. And so, yeah, it's interesting you asked that question because I never really thought about who you put on your favorites. I thought it was just for practical purposes, but I can see the the connection too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last one of the speed round here. What book has probably been the most influential in your life, whether it's business, sports, whatever? What's one of the most influential books? And if you give out books, like this would be a book you'd give out or suggest.
Influence, The Power of Persuasion by Dr. Richard Cialdini. I think it's phenomenal. It's a business book, but it has a lot about psychology that I use on my kids to get them to do chores. And I love it.
All right, it's going on my list then, because that's always a good one right there. How do we get our kids to take care of business around here? So,
right,
very good. All right, well, Rachel, where can we find you online? So your website, social media, things like that.
Yep, rachelbrinke.com is kind of the mothership website. You can find all the other sites from there. I'm Rachel Brinke on all the socials. I do my own social media. That's something that's really important to me. So if you reach out, if you have any questions about what we talked about here, or you just have any other questions, I love to hear where you guys come from and anything, you know, I just love to know that the podcast reached out. If you loved it, hated it otherwise. So just give me a shout and love to talk to y'all.
Awesome. And your website it's great, by the way. So looking through and the ways the aesthetically, it's awesome. And then like to see like your life journey written out in there, it's very well done. But hearing that you do your own social media is awesome too, because a lot of times we reach out to somebody on social media and you have no idea if they have somebody else doing it for them or if they're doing it. So that's awesome.
The team initial response or see, because they might be like a customer service question and they'll handle those. But if you have like a direct question to talk with me, I'm the one that's answering. That's something that I've always been important to me throughout business, is to keep that personal hands-on.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for being on. It's been a blessing to have you on here and I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. All right, everybody. It's been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey guys, I want to encourage you to go over to bostonscally.com. If you wear Scally caps, AKA flat caps, Apple caps, whatever you call them, whatever part of the country you're in, Boston Scally has the absolute best, hands down. Quality, culture, and blue-collar work ethic, baby. Blue-collar mentality. That's what they're all about at Boston Scally. They also have fresh t-shirts, hoodies, things like that. But really, man, if you're rocking the Scally cap, go over and get one. Each one has its own story, and they all connect back to culture. So for me, whenever I'm rocking the Scally, I only go with bostonscally.com. And if you're going to order, be sure to use the code COACHP to get yourself a 15% discount. BostonScally.com.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your your sins, told Satan to stay up off of me. Deal with a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock, Coach P, who never stops.